I'm Tom Fleming. I was troop commander from September through January 29th of 1967. And I'm going to describe the prelude to the battle in the Hobo Woods. Starting in the fall of 67, in November, December, January, you couldn't get VC to shoot at you. The only time he'd shoot at you is when he thought you were going to kill him and get him. But other than that, their orders were not to draw attention, not to fire. It became increasingly more difficult to get the VC to engage. That didn't mean to say there weren't any battles. The VC would attack when they had an opportunity to cause significant damage on a U.S. unit, and they did, and they caused significant damage to several units. But you would find the light scouts would go out and find a bunker complex. They'd be able to look into the bunkers and see ammunition boxes and supply boxes and people in there and literally hover around them, and no one would shoot at them. There was a lot of intelligence coming in from above. Some of it dribbled down into us. And they were still trying to make two and two equal four, and they hadn't quite gotten there in January. In January, the VC and NVA started some big battles at the War Zone C in an attempt to draw the 25th Division and the 1st Division out of the Saigon area. No one envisioned that there was going to be an attack in Saigon. In about a week before Tet, there was a lot of indications that there was infiltration that was coming out of War Zone C, out of Cambodia, down through the corridor of the Iron Triangle into the Hobo Boiloi Woods. Didn't know what it meant, but it looked like there was going to be a big attack someplace, but we didn't know where. The government of South Vietnam, as well as the National Liberation Front, declared Tet to be a national holiday, as it traditionally had been every year, which meant it was a truce. Now, we knew from the previous year, Tet, and presumably the previous years before that, that during the Tet truce, the VC took great advantage of that to move supplies around, move people around, but not to attack. And so it was like a nothing mission. We'd had about two other stand downs during the year that I was there that they declared a truce. Well, division came down somewhere in mid-January, or about a week before the mission, maybe, and the mission came down through squadron, came to us. We were to do aggressive patrolling the free fire zones along the Saigon River, Hobo Woods, Boiloi Woods, and across. And this is apparently because they began to realize that there was infiltration coming through. And we would do it both ground and air and with long-range patrols. Presumed by us, by the squadron, by myself, that it was a relatively quiet period, although there was going to be a lot of activity to report. My replacement came in about 10 days early. So I had been flying with Major Michelson, showing him what we did. And we had several operations, one of which was in response to the VC overrunning an infantry company down south of Trung Lap and inflicting very heavy casualties on them. And the division wanted us to intercept them as they were infiltrating back to the Hobo Woods. We searched, I think we found him right about dusk, put the rifle platoon in. That's when one of the light scouts killed a mortar crew dragging a mortar along in a ditch or a trench. I made the conclusion that when I asked division, I asked back from the squadron if they had a backup force. They didn't have any, and I wasn't going to get decisively engaged. And my replacement was with me, so we backed out of that. Then, I guess it's about the time the order came in, and I said, look, I'm going to be gone. It's a perfect time for you and your new flight operations officer, new service platoon leader, new several other people, to plan this mission. And we'll go through in detail the planning process, what needs to be done. And the mission said that we were to have, on 30 minutes notice, a backup from C Company, 2nd Battalion, 27th Infantry. I'd retain the flight operations officer as I would normally on how we inserted people, how we overwatched it, what we would respond to, and the fact that we had to make face-to-face coordination with a backup force because the division was not very responsive. On the day of the mission was to start, was the day I was going to clear. I think it was a Friday. So I went off to the division, picked my medical records up, my health records, and the rest of it in the morning. And I came back about noon and noticed that the rifle platoon was assembling out there to get lifted off, and that there had been some reports of a VC that had been picked up by light scouts and they killed some. And about 45 minutes to an hour later, I get a call from operations to come up to operations. It's now about 2 o'clock. Major Vincent, who's the executive officer, flying with the new troop commander to be, had flown with me many times as operations officer and exit. Said he was bringing back the other guy and that they wanted me up there. So I put my stuff on, ran out, came up. Vincent picked me up, briefed me about what was going on. As we back up, before I got in the airplane with them, I talked to the new operations officer. Okay. Had they called for, they said the rifle platoon was pinned down. And I asked, had they called for the reaction force? He said, no, they haven't asked for the reaction force to be called for. I said, call for the reaction force. Call for the reaction force. While I was standing there, the response was, C Company's out in the field and it's engaged and it'll take 2 hours to get them. They don't have any lift for them. And that, then I began to say, well, what transpired out there? And they said that the light scouts had found and started killing people in the streamline. Gunships had gone in and they gave me a body count of about 6 people, 6 KIA that had started from about 10 o'clock in the morning till about the time they put in the effort, which to me was an indication that you got, if you can kill 6 and they're in the same place, about every half hour you're killing one, that you've got a lot of folks in there. That's what it's with the rifle. So Vincent picked me up, and I went up, and I talked to Bill Mosenthal, who had taken a round and was lucid, in pain, but in control, and told me that they were all gathered together in a big B-52 bomb crater. Now,